that's a good way to get hurt.
You're looking at an old gray-headed youth here.
Yeah, that's a good way to get hurt. God bless them tonight. Have you enjoyed the singing this evening?
Yes.
You did a great job. I appreciate our young people, and I appreciate their lives. And it speaks a lot about you as their parents and grandparents and all that you do in bringing them to the house of the Lord and raising them in the right way. In the book of Psalms is where we'll be reading at tonight. And you pray for us for a few minutes of time. And I do appreciate the privilege of being into the house of the Lord this evening. And all the testimonies that we've heard tonight, the prayer request goes right with the thought that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this evening. So Psalms 126th chapter, I'm sorry, is where we'll be reading from. Reading just two verses in this chapter. Preached from this several years ago. And that time it was a different text. And I want to use a different thought tonight that's been laid upon my heart. And if we'll all just lift up the name of the Lord, He'll come in and bless our gathering. And we will receive what it is that we stand in need of in our lives. So 126th chapter, Book of Psalms, if you found it, like to stand for the reading of God's Word. Go with me, if you would, down to the 5th and 6th verse, the last two verses of this chapter. And verse 5 says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth in weeping bringeth precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." And stop reading there with that sixth verse, and you can be seated in the house of the Lord. And taking our thought from that fifth verse, where he says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." And our thought tonight is that we ought not be ashamed of shedding tears on behalf of our loved ones. The songs, I believe the Cooks used to sing many years ago, said, "If our tears could lead a lost one to Jesus, then Lord, let me cry a million tears or more." We ought not be ashamed when the Lord lays a burden upon our hearts that we're so overwhelmed that we can't even speak because of the tears flowing in the manner in which they do. I've never seen a time like we live in today where people are too proud to get down and pray for their loved ones and to share with brothers and sisters the burdens that they're carrying for their loved ones. And we have a great divide in front of us, if I can use that picture tonight. And I've said this for a long time now, but I believe that we're at a pivotal time for the future of our children and our grandchildren and our homes and our lives. And there's never a time that we can let our guard down. Sometimes we pray for our children. We say, "Lord, just help us to raise them and bless them in their marriage and if they have children." And sometimes in between there, we let up on our praying. We let up on our praying maybe after the wedding. We let up on our praying for them maybe after the children. And after we see the grandchildren come along and them doing well, we let up on our praying. But the devil never stops attacking their lives. Never stops. Our lives, and folks, don't get me wrong tonight, the devil works against every one of us. But us as parents would rather the devil come against us than to come against our children and our loved ones. The Bible said here that he that soweth in tears shall reap in joy. And he's talking about one of the words that I read about this, said it like this, that this was like a farmer who just came out of a disaster crop the previous season. And this time he went forth and he was sowing his seed with tears because he'd had great disaster before. Maybe using, Brother Larry, the last of the seed that he had to put in the ground. And as he was putting them in the ground, the tears would flow because that was his hope as he put those seeds in the ground, that they would bring forth so that it would sustain him and his family. And I thought, how fitting is that thought to us and our families, that we sow in tears that God will bless them because maybe something, a disaster just happened. Maybe something good just happened. We don't know what the future holds for our people, but we know based upon the mistakes of the past, if things don't change, it's only going to get worse. And the Bible says to us over in the, and I forget that I can move around a little bit, but the Bible says in the book of Galatians, in the 6th chapter and the 7th verse, it tells us that God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, shall he also reap. If we sow to the flesh, we shall of the flesh reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. We're living in a time when the world, and even it is migrated into the church, that they're more concerned about sowing to the things of this world and life. And many parents have got great plans for their kids, and many of them have put together great college funds and all that. And there is nothing wrong with that tonight. And I don't want you to leave here thinking that I'm saying that there is. But the most important thing that we could sow for our children is prayers that are seasoned with tears of sorrow on their behalf. Because we don't know what tomorrow holds for them. We don't know what tomorrow holds for us. But we know this, we know who holds tomorrow in the palm of his hands. And the writer said, if we will sow in tears, we shall reap with joy. How many of us as family members, some of us have sown for a long time, and the tears just continue to flow. And I want to put this in before I move on. Don't ever ask God to dry up your river, because those tears are important. In the Bible, it talks about how they bottled up their tears. And it was a sign, not that it showed that they had cried so much, but it was a sign, I believe, this is Roger's thought, it was a sign of love. That God allows us to pray and to cry on behalf of our loved ones. And he said, if we will sow with tears, we shall reap with joy. How many of you tonight that have sown with tears are looking forward to the day that joy will come into the house? Because he said in the book of Psalms in the 30th chapter, he said it like this, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I'm not going to preach long, so don't get too nervous on me. But I look forward to the day, Brother Ott, that we can rejoice in knowing that our tears have not been in vain, but God has heard our prayers. We have taken our loved ones before Him, and God has heard them. And now we can rejoice because those that were afar off have come back home, and those that were lost have been saved by the grace of God. You see, folks, if we really are concerned about them, I used to look at Mom and Dad and Granny and Grandpa when they would talk about praying for somebody and the tears would fall from their face. And I thought that was just old-fashioned stuff. But when you care and you love so much for somebody, you're not ashamed who sees you shed those tears because they mean the world to you. Can I preach it like this? The most important possession we have in life is our loved ones, our friends, our church, our brothers and sisters. And folks, without them, life has no meaning. I was thinking as the young ones were up here singing tonight, everything we have in life can be replaced except for them. The house can be replaced. The car can be replaced. The job can be replaced. But folks, what God has lent to us for a little time, these cannot be replaced. They cannot be replaced. They're invaluable. We cannot put a price on how much they mean to us, Brother Ron. And folks, we ought to be proud that God allows us every once in a while to just open up our tear ducts and allow the tears to flow on behalf of our loved ones. For those that are far off, that God would bring them back. For those, as I said, that are lost, that we would see them get saved. I see people shed tears over things that don't amount to a hill of beans. Many of these folks, as we heard the brother testify this morning, people get all caught up in the ball games and the things that's going on in society, the events and all that. All those things will not change your life, my life, or their lives. But folks, a good dose of the Holy Ghost will change our people's lives for all eternity. We need to be sowing in tears. And I know this is a Sunday night service, but it almost feels like a prayer meeting service. Because we need to ask God to open up our hearts. Let us see that time is running out. Let us see that the devil is pulling them farther and farther away from God. And you know, I thought about this, and this is so true, from the lost chapter in the Bible. You know, it talks about the lost sheep. It talks about the lost son. It talks about the woman who lost her, that one pence that meant so much to her. The longer something is lost, the harder it is to find it. The longer, and I'll equate that into my message tonight, the longer your people and my people are away from God, the harder it is to get them back. But if we as God's people will go back and think about this farmer who lost all in the previous year, in the book of Genesis, in the 8th chapter, it says that there is a time of summer, there's a time of winter. There's a time to plant. There's a time of harvest. It sounds like Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, does it not? But he said that back in the book of Genesis in the 8th chapter, that there is a time for all things. There's a time, and I'll just relate it with Zoe just being born. Brandon and Bethany are hopeful, no doubt, for her future. They're hopeful for Sean and Reese's future. But folks, there is nothing that is more important than bringing them up in the fear and admonition of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sowing tears that God would put angels round about them to watch over them. And I'm using them as an example. You put your loved ones in that same phrase. Put angels round about them to protect them. But let's not ask God to do it all. Let's be proud that God will allow us to shed a tear to help in their crop, to grow it in the right way. Because these lives are very important. Folks, let me tell you, I've seen moms and dads. I've been there with some of you in the good times, and I've been there with some of you in the bad times. And folks, once the devil has done his damage, it breaks our hearts, and we will cry like babies then, will we not? Before that day comes, we ought to be bringing them to God and saying, Lord, you know what they're going through. You know where they're at in life. And as Sister Charlene said tonight, and this is a hard prayer to pray. Lord, if it takes whatever you need to do to get their attention, that's my prayer tonight. And folks, I used to hear moms and dads pray like that. Because bringing them down to their knees, getting them back in fellowship with God was more important than anything that they might lose in this secular world. Today, we want them to do well. And folks, God wants us to do well. But He wants us to put Him first. And if we don't put God first, He will not take second. And our crops will fail. You say, well, I didn't plant a garden. I don't have any crops. Your children's lives is your crop. Your loved ones' lives is your crop. You say, well, some of them, I had nothing to do with it. They're out there on their own. God told us to even be worried about those that are far off. That those that are, and I think about this because I've known of church members that because they thought everything was all right, mom and dad thought everything all right, the church thought everything was all right, we did not pray the way we should have prayed. You know what? Instead of us bringing in sheaves, the devil has gone laughing at what he has harvested off of their lives. Instead of us doing what we're supposed to do, there's no place for us to let down on our praying. No place. There's no place for us to be not to be concerned about our loved ones. Let me take you back for just to this morning, to the prayer request that I gave to you. That mom and dad are shedding tears on top of tears. Just put yourself in Tara's testimony tonight. Put yourself in their place. Folks, and I'm not wishing and praying that God will do anything like that to your loved ones. Don't get me wrong. But we do not know what tomorrow is going to bring to your house or to mine. If my loved ones, if my children and grandchildren are going to leave this world, I want them to leave here knowing that they are saved by the grace of God. And folks, we will shed the tears of prayer on their behalf. I wish that people would pray like they used to pray. That it wasn't just a Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night prayer, but they would walk around the house praying. They'd be on the job site. Anybody ever been at the job site running your machine or doing your job? And the next thing you know, you just lose sight of this world and you come to yourself and there's tears going down your face because you was caught up in a prayer for someone that in your family or in your church that needed a touch from God. We're living in a time when people have forsaken God, and because they're looking at all the things that the world has to offer. I've known church members that have thought, I'm okay now. I'm okay, and I can just dedicate a little bit more time to my job. I can dedicate a little bit more time to my studies, and everything will be all right. The moment we think we're above falling, the devil has got us in his grasp. I've known of Sunday school teachers, song leaders, deacons, and even preachers, and even pastors that thought that they'd come to a point in their life that they didn't need the church and they didn't need God like they once did. Yeah. Folks, when we no longer need God, we will be 6 foot under the ground. Until that day, we need God each and every day. And I often catch myself praying like this, Lord, watch over my kids. Watch over them and help them that they might grow and protect them. And oftentimes I forget about myself. You know, we not only need to pray for them, we need to pray for ourselves. Because we've got a crop that we're trying to bring about as well. Not just their lives, but our Christian life. Our Christian life ought to mean more to us than any other life that we have. Because you see, God saved us and put us in this life. He's the one who gave us life eternal. He's the one who gave us something that we can wake up for and have a reason to look forward to that day. I've heard Jim say this in the past. If all I had to look forward to was my job, I would be depressed. I would be. I can't wait until I get to go to church and be with brothers and sisters that have something in common. I get tired of working all the time. Because there's no future in it. You know what? And I said this to some of them today. They was congratulating me on being a grandpa again for the sixth time. And you know what I told them? That just means I never get to retire. Because that's just one more I got to worry about. One more I got to help. And some of you grandpas and grandmas are shaking your head because you know what I'm talking about. That's one more that I got to shed tears over. And folks say, well, you don't have to worry about her until she gets 14, 15, 16 years old. The Bible teaches us that the time that we ought to start praying is even before they come into this world. We better start praying because if we wait until they get in trouble, we've got a lot of praying to catch up with. I've never seen a mom or dad get on TV when their child was arrested for doing something bad and say they was a bad child. I've never seen a mom and dad get on TV and say, it's my fault because I didn't raise them right. You know, when it comes to my children and your children, everything they do is a reflection on us. Anybody ever get angry at your kids?
Yes.
And the reason we get angry is because we taught them better. Or at least we thought we taught them better. And we get angry because they went outside of what we taught them to do. They know better than that. But folks, if we would just begin and never stop praying for our loved ones, we'll bring in the harvest. It may not be a harvest that the world would say is good. But when life comes to an end, it's not what the world says about them anyway. It's what God says about them that counts. He said if we would
soul in tears. Can you see that farmer out there? About to lose it all. And this is Roger's thoughts as well. Maybe if this crop, Sister Ruby, didn't go well, he'd lose the farm. He'd lose the place where his home was at. And you know, the farm was may not be that important, but losing a home where the kids are at, that's important to him. So he's out there, and while he's planting those seeds, maybe he's praying and talking to God. Lord, would you just bless this crop? As I put this seed in the ground, would you just bless it? You know what we need to pray tonight? Is God, would you take that crop, which is at my house? You know where it's at, and you know exactly what it stands in need of. These farmers will tell you, and the Bible talks about it as well, when a crop is planted, not only does it need the former rains, but it also needs some of the latter rains. You know what that means to me? We need to be praying for our kids when they're coming up, that God will send the rain so they come to know right from wrong. And even as they grow, we need to pray for the latter rains that will come in their lives and shower upon them and show them that it's God that makes the difference in your living and my living. It's God that makes a difference in our lives and whether we have a successful life or not. And life is not measured by how much money you have in a bank. Or how many possessions you have. This on my heart, so I might as well say it. I've known preachers that quit preaching. And I remember one of several years ago, and when the question was asked why he and his wife quit coming to church and why he quit preaching, he said, because we're doing better now than we've ever done. We're doing better now than we've ever done. I've got a good job. She's got a good job. We just got more than we've ever had. I ask you, who blessed them to have what they have? And everything that the devil is giving you, you know what God can do? He can take it away. I used to hear folks pray like this. You don't hear this in Baptist churches anymore. Lord, if it takes them, takes it, you put them flat on their back. Anybody ever heard a grandma or grandpa pray like that one? Put them flat on their back so that they would realize that it's not them, but it's you that has control over their life. See, we're caught up in an era where we want everybody to have everything they ever wanted. And we're forgetting the most important thing. And that is, they have to have God. They have to live for God. And they have to work for God. Folks, if we ever want to see a harvest, it's going to take more than just praying. It's going to take more than just talking about it. It's going to take some moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, church members that are willing to get down and shed tears on their behalf. You know, the altars used to be stained where the tears fell. Our people today are too proud to shed a tear. But I promise you this, if anything ever happens to one of those crops, they'll be shedding the tears and won't be too ashamed who sees it, but it'll be too late. I don't want to wait until it's too late to start praying and shedding tears, but we ought to start shedding the tears now while there's hope, while there's a promise, while there's a word that says if we could touch heaven. You know, the Bible says it don't take a whole church to pray and get our prayers through the heaven. It says we're too would agree on earth concerning any one thing, touching heaven, God would hear and He would answer. How many of you tonight has got crops that you're worried about? You know what it would take for us to get God's attention? If we would be like that woman who come to the feet of Jesus. And you know what? She wasn't ashamed of everyone that was watching her. But she got down and she began to wash His feet. Not with a bucket of water. Not with a pail of water. But Larry Jones, she got down and washed His feet with her tears as they fell. You talk about somebody that had a burden. Does anybody have a burden tonight in the house of the Lord? That you see your people, your crops. And you know what? Those of you that's had crops in the past and had gardens or whatever it was, you had that crop out there and it'd be doing real well. But those animals would come along and destroy it. The elements would come along and destroy it. You thought everything was going to be okay and you was looking forward to the harvest. but something that would come along and destroy it before you got there. Some of us have got crops that's more important than anything we could ever plant out in the field. We got high hopes for them. High hopes. You know, I never tried to convince any of my children what they should be in life. I never tried to lead them. You know, sometimes a mom and dad will have a child and somebody will say what they're going to be. They're going to be an attorney. They're going to be a doctor. They're going to be this or that when they grow up. I think that they ought to choose their own route. Let them make up their own minds. What they do is they just ought to find something that they're happy with, and that's what they ought to do. Because if you don't like your job, working is a long time. Amen. I got some amens out of that. But I heard a story one time that said, if you like what you're doing, you'll never have to go to work. When you really like what you're doing. I haven't found it yet. I'm still looking. As a young preacher, Brother Larry, I'm still looking. But if we could get our kids, this is my prayer for mine and for yours and for our loved ones all alike. I'm not worried about what they do in this world as far as vocation. I'm not worried about where they might live and what they might drive, what they might wear. What I'm worried about is, do they know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? If they know Him, God will take care of everything else. And people say, how can you be sure of that? The prophet of old said it like this: I've been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaking nor begging bread. In fact, I shared it with this church several years ago when I was young. Sister Ed, when I wanted to go to church with those people that God had blessed and they were successful, because I wanted to be around people that were successful. I wanted to find out what made them successful. And you know what I found out? It wasn't the job that they had down at General Motors or at GE or at Ford. What made them successful is they loved the Lord with all their heart, and they wasn't ashamed to tell somebody how good God had been to them. Nor was they ashamed to get up and request prayer for their loved ones with tears going down their jaws. Folks, we need to get back to that. We need to get back to the time to where we was more concerned about their spiritual well-being than we was anything else. Because what good is a crop? And some of y'all know what about this. What good is a crop if you plant corn and the stalks come up and they go 7-8 foot high and there's no corn on it? What good is it? Amen? What good is your people's lives if they grow up and become very successful, but they know not Jesus Christ? Isn't that a shame? We need to bring in the joy. And joy can only come through tears that have planted the crops in the right manner. Now, there may have been a drought the year before. Can you see this man out there with me? Can you picture that? Because you see, I've seen moms and dads with their crops and how they would talk to me, and they would begin to tear up and talk about, I just hope that they change. I hope that they do better. What they're doing is that they are sowing in tears upon that crop. And you say, Roger, your imagination is far-fetched. Folks, let me tell you, we need to shed every tear we can on their behalf. Because some of them don't realize where they're at. Some of them don't realize that they're not bringing forth any fruit. And you know what Jesus did to the fig tree that had no fruit? Amen. Folks, we'll either bear fruit or God will take us out. Oh, this is a hard message, Larry Jones, because I'm talking about people that you know and love and people that I know and love. And I'll just open my heart to you tonight. I'm concerned about people that say they know the Lord, that they've been saved, but yet they have no desire to go to the house of the Lord, and they're not bringing forth any fruit, because I know what God said in His Word. And folks, I've been there, and some of you have been there, to where our lives were fruitless. And one day the Lord got our attention. Does anybody remember the Lord getting your attention when you was fruitless and told you it's time for you to get to work? I remember the exact event that happened that got my attention. People say, oh, that was just coincidence. You believe whatever you want to. I know God works in mysterious ways. And He said, I will chastise those that I love, because if I don't chastise them, He said, they're bastards and not sons. And let me tell you this, I know that I am a son of God. Amen. Anybody ever been went to the whipping post? Amen. Some of you don't want to confess. It wasn't the whippings I got, and I'm trying to find a hushing place. The whippings I got was not because mom and dad didn't pray for me. The whippings I got is because I thought I knew more than mom and dad. Anybody ever thought you were smarter than mom and dad? We thought we got beyond prayer. But you know what we found out, and Sister Tara testified to this tonight. We found out they knew more about life than what we did. They knew more about God. They knew more about the church. They knew more about why things happen the way they do than what we can even comprehend. We called them old-fashioned. And some of these kids here tonight, you probably call your mom and dad old-fashioned. But I promise you this, if God tarries His coming and you live long enough, you'll come to the realization one day that you have the same thoughts as mom and dad. In fact, the saying is that you'll wake up one day and you'll start sounding like your mom and dad. And I'm not trying to be comical, but does anybody else remember the first time you said something and you caught yourself? You said, I sound like dad, or I sound like mom. You know what I realized? As a young man, I thought I had it all. I thought I knew it all. And they were just old-fashioned, didn't know much. But one day, the lights came on and I realized how smart mom and dad was, because they taught me right. And folks, the Bible says this in closing, that if we will shed tears over our crops, and I'm paraphrasing, Jackie, with the Word of God, if we will shed tears over our crops, He said that one day they'll come to the full realization. He says if we will train them up in the fear and admonition of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He said that one day they will realize that they need God and they need the church more than they need anything else. And they will return back to the church. There's a commercial on TV. I don't know if y'all seen it or not. The Catholic Church is running a great promotional thing right now. And it's inviting Catholics to come back to church. Now, my first thought is their offerings must be getting low. See, I got a devious mind at times. But you know what? We ought to pray for any church that gets people to come back and give their hearts and lives to God. Because that's what it's all about. And you could, we could split hairs all day about, is this church really of God, or that church of God really of God? Anybody that professes that Jesus is Lord, anybody believes that you have to be born again from your sins, anybody believes that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, we ought to pray for. Amen. Because time is running out. And I've seen this as well, and I'll close. I've seen farmers plant crops and their minds get distracted, or maybe they just forget about it or whatever it is, and they leave that crop in the field too long and it goes to ruin. The saddest thing I could think of is a life that has been lived that is a ruin in the sight of God. And what kind of life is that? It's one that has not made Jesus Christ Lord and Savior over their home. And I said I'm going to close, but this is it. And Rob and Sharon, you get a song. You know what worries me? I see these young parents with their children, and they're more concerned about the soccer games and the basketball and the football games. And they don't have time to take their kids to church. I wonder in days to come, what will become of those kids? Doesn't mom and dad, and folks, I love my kids. I love my grandkids. Don't they love them enough to want to see them accept Jesus Christ when they come to the age? You cannot take somebody to church at the age of 12 and expect them just to get saved and everything be right. They've got to be trained. They've got to learn. They've got to be taught about God. Because if we wait too late to start teaching them, the devil has already got a stronghold. In today's paper, and I picked it up out of the driveway. I don't read the paper. But I picked it up out of the driveway, Sister Jane. And as I was driving, walking into the house, I read one of the headlines and it said something to this. Some of the most violent crimes today is being committed by kids against kids. And I may have the title wrong, but I'm close. That young men are raping young women. Young men are killing other young men and young women. It is not safe to trust your kids, your crops, to this world and expect them to come out good. If we're ever going to expect a good crop, we've got to nourish it and take care of it. And moms and dads, we need to make sure it's got plenty of tears shed over it. Because that's what will make it grow and make it grow right. We need to tell them that we're concerned. This morning I said it like this. When we're trying to lead people to God and we're trying to lead people that are saved back to the house of God, you know what we ought to start off with? I'm not trying to embarrass you, but I want you to know I'm concerned about your life. I'm concerned about your life. I've had that conversation with my boy because we raised him right. And folks, even when we raise them right, they can still go astray. They can still go astray. And although Brother Holcomb has testified to this many times, even though we're not able to steer them back to God, I know that there is a higher power that can get their attention when they no longer listen to me. And some of us today, if we don't want to see our crops end up in ruin, we better ask God to restore the tears back into our hearts and lives so that we can pray for them like we have never prayed for them before. Because time is running out. And even if time goes on, you and I are not going to be here long enough to shed enough tears to be able to change their lives unless God intervenes. Folks, while we stand, they sing a verse of a song. I ask you tonight, in this invitation, don't you want your crops to be good crops? Then what we ought to do is make a covenant tonight in this Sunday evening service that we're going to pray. It doesn't matter if it's prayer time or not. When God lays it upon our hearts, that's why we have an altar. We ought to make it up in our minds and make a covenant tonight that we're going to use this altar more than we've ever used it before. That we're going to pray more than we've ever prayed before. And ask God to restore the tears back so that we can shed those tears over our crops to see them grow in a way that God would be pleased. Would you come tonight while they sing this song of invitation? Would you make that step tonight? Don't wait on anybody else. It's your crop. It's your crop that needs your prayers, your tears shed upon it. Don't worry what somebody else might think or say. It's yours. And you ought to be most concerned about it. Because he said, if we will sow with tears, we shall reap with joy. And this sorrow's not going to be forever, because in Psalms 30 he says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. It's right around the corner if we pray faith believing. How is it with your crops tonight? Most important thing we have is those that we love. Most important thing. Yes. The devil wants them, and he's trying hard to get them. Take them away from mom and dad. Take them away from your household. And he's trying to get them for all eternity. That's why we need to be so vigilant about working to get them in. Time is of the essence. One more verse, Rob, if you would, while these are still praying. Yes. I say the most important thing that we have is those that God has entrusted in under our care. You know, really, they're not your kids and my kids, and they're not your loved ones and mine. They're just lent to us for a little while. And we're responsible tonight, church, how we raise them, how we teach them, what we let them do and what we don't let them do. We're responsible for it. And I want to close this tonight by saying that there is never a time, I don't care if they're 3 years old, 30 years old, or even 60 years old, they are still your children. And we still have a responsibility to shed tears over our crops, because they're ours that God has blessed us with. Never a time to let up. Because I tell you this by God's word, the devil is not let up. In fact, the Bible says he's working harder than he's ever worked before, trying to devour your loved ones and mine. I've known many of moms and dads, good people, that the devil claimed the lives of their children. And they wonder what went wrong. How did this happen? And folks, the devil doesn't care if it's your daughter or your son. He doesn't care if it's your loved one, if it's your husband or wife. He doesn't care if it's your mother or father. He doesn't care whose life he ravages. They don't mean anything to him. But you know what? They mean all to God, because he allowed his son to die for them. We ought to be willing to shed tears over what God has blessed us with. And tonight, not just in the house of the Lord, but the next time they come up on your heart, our prayer is that God will just open up your windows. That's what Ecclesiastes called them over there. Open up your windows and allow the tears to flow on behalf of your loved ones. And never be ashamed of a tear that God has allowed you to cry. God bless you. I pray that you got something from the Word, from the service tonight. Didn't our young people do a wonderful job? And I'm going to find that song after church. Because I told Jim, I said, I'll remember it
And he said, about 10 o'clock. That's my deacon talking to me. I love him anyway. Don't y'all? And I love my brothers and sisters in the house of the Lord. Remember our service on Wednesday night? And I did find out Becky's coming back the 16th. I talked to her today. So she is coming back. Okay? And baby's doing good. She says she's growing. She's already putting on ounces. I'm thinking she just got born. How can you tell that somebody's putting on ounces? You know, when we put on pounds, you can tell it. But ounces? I think she's just exaggerating just a little bit. But anyway, God bless you and yours. Our prayers, you'll have a great week. And folks, take time out to watch after your crops. God bless you tonight. I'll see you on Wednesday night. Let's go praying and come back praying, expecting great things to happen in the house of the Lord.